Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with host Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I'm your host for today's program, Peggy Hartshorn, Chairman of the Board of Heartbeat International that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. And today we have a program that is near and dear to my heart and a topic that touches many, many families, unfortunately, and that's the subject of abortion and how it affects relationships within the family. Did you know that past abortion is one of the causes, major causes, of relationship issues within the family? Between a husband and wife, a mother and daughter, father and son, siblings who would have been the siblings of the child who was aborted. Really, these relationships issues are astounding, and we're just beginning to understand the impact that abortion has on the family. So if you'd like to know more about that and how it may be affecting a family that you are part of, your family, or a family that is near and dear to yours, stay tuned, and you'll find this program fascinating, I believe. Our guest today is Michaeline Friedenberg, who is a friend and colleague of mine for many years. Michaeline, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much, Peggy.
It's great to have you as a guest. Michaeline is joining us from a distance. She's based in San Diego, California, but travels all over the United States. Sometimes we have an opportunity to be together, which I truly appreciate, Michaeline, and I'm happy to serve on an advisory board right now for Michaeline's organization, which is called Life Perspectives. And Michaeline, you really founded that organization back in 2008, and specifically at that time to help people who were suffering from the aftermath of abortion. And now you've broadened out your work into helping with miscarriage as well. And for those who are listening to the program, you might want to search. We will have another program with Michaeline on miscarriage. This one is focusing today on relationship issues relating to abortion. So, Michaeline, I know, was it in 2008 also that you published your book, which was titled Changed, Making Sense of Your Own or a Loved One's Abortion Experience? That was a powerful book. Was that back in 2008 also?
It was. Peggy, we saw that there's such a thriving network of after-abortion help that's available all around the country, but really often underutilized. Sometimes because people don't know that those services are available, or perhaps it's just too much for them to actually pick up the phone or go somewhere in person. And so the idea for myself and those who are working with me is, let's try to create some safe places for someone to start and to do that anonymously through reading a book or going on a website, abortionchangesyou.com.
Right. And I remember when that website first started, abortionchangesyou.com, it was amazing to me, the thought that people could actually begin to get help online. The post-abortion programs, the healing programs I was familiar with were all one-on-one, person-to-person. And I suppose ultimately that is what needs to happen for full healing. But certainly people can really start processing some of their feelings, emotions, and begin to look into the issue online. That was shocking to me, but the website proves that. Tell us some of the stories that people have shared, because that's one thing that they can do on the website, right? They can share their own story.
Absolutely. So for so many people, there's so much secrecy and shame that surrounds an abortion experience, whether that experience was their own or maybe it was somebody close to them. So to be able to go anonymously and perhaps do that on your phone or a different device provides them a way to learn that they're not alone. And then also start to give them hope for healing. And yes, there's a number of interactive but anonymous activities that they can do. And one of them would be actually sharing their story. There are over 1,000 stories that are listed on the website, most of them from women, but also from men, as well as family members and friends. And certainly each story is very unique, but there's some themes that definitely run through that. The deep sense of regret, the lack of support that they feel that they have, the fear of actually reaching out for support. One of the themes we see with the stories from the men is often open apologies to the women that they had either in their own words pushed into having an abortion or who maybe just by them not being active, they felt like that choice was made by them. And not only do they miss their child, but more than that, they really are concerned and they worry about their partner, and they're so sorry that they had participated.
Hmm. So that could be, however, a partner that they no longer have a relationship with at all. But I'd like to focus today, for our program's benefit, on how abortion affects the relationships within the family, the existing mm-hmm. family. And of course, for those men that you shared, they may actually be married to or still in relationship with a woman who had an abortion at perhaps their urging or that they paid for. Let's focus on how abortion affects those relationships within existing families. And Michaeline, I think if I recall your personal story on your abortion, that actually it was the effect that abortion began to have on your relationships, right? That caused you to start seeking help.
Yes. Well, I mean, the relationship with my boyfriend immediately broke up. Neither of us dealt with it very well, and we didn't feel there was a lot of blame. There was a lot mm-hmm. of anger, and there was a lot of blame that went on. And then for me, that internalized for myself. And fortunately, I was able to overcome my fear. I think I got desperate enough. I knew that my life was spinning out of control, that I reached out to a friend for help. And that was a real turning point, having her accept me as I was, knowing that she still loved me, and then having her support and her assistance in finding help made such a difference, knowing I wasn't alone when I was able to talk with other men and women who've experienced this and really being given permission to grieve. And then throughout that process, when I began to heal, and I thought, well, maybe what I could do now is share with others that there's not alone and there's hope for healing. I knew that I needed to talk to my family about this. And Peggy, they had no idea. I had been living in another state and I had kept this all a secret from them. But I felt that if I was going to share my story with others, I needed to share it with them first. And for me, this was, of course, I was nervous. I was anxious. I didn't know if this was going to perhaps even ruin our relationship with my parents, with my sister. And what I found was that they just immediately went to the place of, I would have a grandchild, or I would have a niece or nephew. And I watched them grieve mm-hmm. over the loss of that family member, and I'd never really thought about it that way before. And then what made it even more difficult, you know, in a family often, right, we'll support each other when we're grieving and we're going through loss, but this was pretty tough to do. I knew that I had been the cause of this loss on my parents. They were sensitive to that as well and didn't want to cause me any more harm. And so it was difficult for us to actually be able to talk about it and to support each other. And I would be surprised many times as years went by, and then suddenly from one of my parents it would come out, you know, that they blame themselves, or they felt that they failed as a parent, or they think about this missing grandchild.
Hmm. Wow. That's amazing. And your story, you started out by saying that the way you were able to get healing was by confiding in someone that you had a close mm-hmm. relationship with. And so I'm thinking in families where people are afraid to share, that I'm sure that there are some people who have not confided in anyone in their family because there wasn't someone there that they felt they could share with, or they were afraid and perhaps anticipated some of the things that you experienced when you did tell your family, mm-hmm. that your story would cause them to grieve.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, the way people react is going to be very unique. Even the way that the meaning of the loss is going to be different for each person. And so I think, as you were talking, I was thinking of two sisters. This was shared recently when I was guest lecturing in a class. And the sister who chose to terminate the pregnancy, to have the abortion, for her, she was still in a place where she felt that this was a good decision for her. But her sister was really grieving the loss of a niece or a nephew. Hmm. And so there was, what she was describing is there would be a lot of anger between the two sisters and each of them not understanding why the other didn't feel about it the way that they did. Hmm. And so I know for the sister who had the abortion, she was looking for advice of like, how can I convince my sister she should support me and she shouldn't be grieving? And really in our conversation, and she was able to see this, was that, but she is grieving. She's grieving a niece or a nephew. And so it really would be unfair to be expecting something different from her. And so perhaps they each needed to go find another person that could help them through all of this, and that they could be there as sisters to love and respect each other. But perhaps either if they're able to listen to each other, that would be great, but maybe they're not, and that's okay. And you could think of that in many other situations. If you had a parent who had really encouraged their son or their daughter to have an abortion, you could imagine how that then becomes really strained and difficult afterwards for them to talk about this. And so as wonderful as it is to have our family there to support us, I think sometimes for us to be able to give them grace and to know that they may not be able to, they may not be the best person. The fortunate thing is there are lots of others who would be available to us.
Mm-hmm. And your stories show how people within the family on the issue of the same abortion could have very different feelings about it. Some who still support the decision, some who don't. So mm-hmm. that's, gosh, thinking about that is an amazing example of how that abortion could tear apart the family. Those defending the decision, those suffering from it, those who had some part in the decision, perhaps mm-hmm. needing it, at least in that point of time, to continue to defend it for their own sense of well-being until at some point in the future they may be able to face into that. It's amazing to think how many people are affected by an abortion, and as you say, how differently they're affected. You're listening to The Family Sanctuary today. I'm your host, Peggy Hartshorn. Our guest is Michaeline Friedenberg, who's the founder of an organization called Life Perspectives, which focuses in on healing after abortion. Their website, Abortion Changes You, was really the pioneer in our post-abortion healing movement to provide healing, at least the beginning steps, openness to that online. And it was a pioneering website back in 2008. So thank you for that, Michaeline. And it's beautiful to see how it's grown and developed, and how you now, as an author, speaker, and teacher, have really taken this message widely across the United States and around the world. So thank you for that. So we've been talking about how one abortion can affect, or does affect, not only the person who had the abortion, but the family, that person's parents, perhaps spouse, siblings, nieces and nephews, grandchildren, and so forth and so on. Everyone in the family can be touched and in different ways by that abortion. Michaeline, What about some of the other ways that a family might be affected? I'm sure you've seen so many stories on your website, because people share their stories there, or in your speaking engagements. Give it, for those who have not suffered an abortion within their family, can you tell some other examples? I'm thinking even examples of siblings who knew that they would have had a brother or a sister who's missing from the family. To me, that is always so moving when I hear those kinds of stories.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And of course, you know, that's such a reality, you know, when we're told right now that 3 out of 10 women will end up having an abortion in their lifetime in the United States. And then you think of, right, all the different family members and friends that we've just described. And it can be really difficult for the siblings. There's certainly, you know, a few stories that come right to mind, and that really, I think, also speak to many others. So there's a college student who shared with me after a presentation that her mother had had an abortion just after her 8th grade graduation. And I call her Amber. That's not her real name. But Amber had said her mom was a single mom. It was very difficult financially. And so for Amber, it just made sense to her. For her, it sounded logical that that's what her mom would decide to do. But then this past year, as she was being driven back up to campus, her mom revealed a second abortion. And Amber said she didn't know what about that was so different, but she reacted in a completely different fashion. She said that, you know, her identity as an only child, she realized, had been a lie, that she should have had 2 other brothers or sisters. She thought back to the times when her mom emotionally struggled, and she'd hear her crying in her bedroom and wondered if this was part of what was going on. And even though Amber had great compassion, she said she also had a lot of anger. She was really angry with her mom that she had aborted her siblings and that this had really ruptured their relationship. Amber didn't want to hurt her mom anymore. Her strategy was simply just not to talk to her. But you can imagine how painful that was for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think of another college student who had shared, in this instance, the family immigrated to the United States, very difficult situation financially. They had 1 child, became pregnant again, and just felt like they literally could not care for another child. And so they had an abortion, and they felt like it was another son, another boy. And then a couple years later ended up having the student that I spoke with, a daughter. And this was not a secret in the family. It was talked about. It was clear that the parents regretted the abortion and that they honored this missing family member. What was interesting is that for the daughter, the way that she processed this was that she was the makeup baby, that she would not have been born if they had not aborted the middle brother. And because of that, it was really her duty, in essence, to live his life for him, that she felt that she needed to bring meaning to his life. Now, when I was talking with her, it didn't appear that the parents were saying that, but that is how she, as a child, now she's a college student, and she's realizing this isn't healthy, but I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked about, you know, potentially getting some help and some assistance in this area, and she became hopeful. But then at the end of our conversation, kind of circled right back around and said, but I don't know if I want to do that, because if I'm not giving meaning to my brother's life, will he have meaning?
Hmm.
And I think she really touched on where a number of people get really stuck in the healing process, is that we feel that just that. It's as if we didn't love them or they weren't an honored member of our family. And we fear that if we let go of the pain and continue through the healing process, that we will forget about them. and that they will be forgotten. Now, that is not what ends up happening. I think it's a reasonable fear that people have, but we know that we don't forget. You don't ever forget, but it becomes different.
Right.
You can remember in a way that isn't painful or destructive. But that is a place that I often see that people get stuck.
Yeah, those are powerful stories. And I think when I hear stories of abortion survivors, they could be called abortion survivors, people who are living now, who survived a family where there were abortions. And many of those people sometimes have that survivor guilt. Why me? Why not? Why wasn't I aborted? And my sibling, why didn't my sibling live? And what about my parents? Sometimes they even think, how could my parents have done that? And yet, hope and healing, that's the message that we certainly want to focus on too, Michaeline, not just the pain and the stories, the complex relationship issues, but how do families actually go through the healing process?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the key things is to actually be at the place where you are willing to let go of the secret, if it is a secret, or you are willing to actually talk about it. And I know that that's very difficult to do. But I have had couples tell me, you know, they're 40 years into their marriage and they had an abortion early on in their marriage and they never talked about it again.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates this difficulty. It creates this impediment to intimacy for them. But there's obviously a lot of fear that is there as well. Our entire families who get together for a particular birthday and they're reminded of a missing family member and everyone's kind of uncomfortable, but they don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've really found, and research supports this, that actually diving in, even if it's awkward, and I know that it will be painful, and actually beginning to talk about and to acknowledge the loss and to acknowledge the meaning of that loss and give each other permission to grieve in their own unique fashion.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really huge.
And there is so much now, so much healing available. Gosh, mm-hmm. when we first started into post-abortion healing back in the 80s, I remember professional counselors, there was no availability of people in professional mm-hmm. counseling who understood and knew how to provide help. Now there are many Catholic counselors, Christian counselors, post-abortion healing programs here in our Diocese of Columbus, Ohio. We have in Columbus itself, Bethesda Healing. Our pregnancy centers have healing mm-hmm. programs. There are many Christian and Catholic counselors who provide healing. And I believe, Michaeline, your website also has a network highlighted on your website, Abortion Changes You. For those who may be listening and saying, I need some help, maybe someone can help me mm-hmm. through this, they can find resources on Abortion Changes You, correct?
They absolutely can. So mm-hmm. under Find Help, there are now about 1,400 resources that are listed. Most of them are in the United States. And that would be, as you said, from individual counseling to group support to weekend healing retreats. So there's a lot of different options for people available. That's both for men, for women, and family members
mm-hmm.
as well. And they can search in their area and find some different options for them.
Absolutely. And I think there's so much stress on families today. We've only got about 3 minutes left in our program. I want to make sure that we give your website again and mention also that you are working on some accreditation programs to help professionals to mm-hmm. actually, you want to tell us about that, Michaeline? To be able to provide help even more fully.
Yes, so we're really delighted to be able to offer continuing education for mental health professionals. We found that most have never received any reproductive loss training, and they're hungry for it. So that's something that we offer. Those are half-day seminars, and our team travels around the country providing that for graduate counseling programs, licensed clinicians, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then there are others who, you know, say in a church setting, who want to be prepared. They want to be a safe place for someone to start. So they won't be providing long-term support for them, but they want to be a safe place for someone to start. And we also offer safe place training that we can provide. Again, that's a half day. And what we hear from those who attend is that they leave feeling confident that they would know what to say if somebody shared this experience with them and where to send them to, which is exactly what we like to do. In fact, I'd like to mention one more resource in addition to abortionchangesyou.com. There is, it's called the Safe Place app, and you can get that for both Android or an iPhone. And that could be for someone who's saying, I can think of a friend or my sister or a colleague, and I'm not quite sure what to say to them or how to support them. And they can download that app. And there's some really simple tools on there.
That's wonderful,
that can help
Michaeline.
Us to be able to support each other.
You're always high tech, and that's great. High tech, but personal healing as well. You've been listening. Thank you so much for being our guest today, Michaeline Friedenberg from Abortion Changes You and Life Perspectives. You are listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with archives at stgabrielradio.com and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. Our program, The Family Sanctuary, is broadcast at 12:30 every Monday and 2 o'clock on Sundays. So please join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life as God intended.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Peggy Hartshorne are available at stgabrielradio.com.